This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a glorious Monday morning to you, May 17th, 2021. Because Knicks fans, today is the day we've been wanting for years and years and years. And this day, thanks to the Milwaukee Bucks, is finally here. Let's say good morning. Let's go around the horn, as some would say. And welcome back, Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. I thought that glorious, glorious Monday was for welcoming me back. I didn't think you were going to leave with the Knicks. I thought it was all about me.
Well, it is. In part, the greatness of the Knicks getting the fourth seed is encompassed with you returning, and it's all wrapped up into one great little ball of fun.
Got it. Okay, now I understand. See, I thought for a moment that it was all just to make sure that I felt the warmth coming from you guys welcoming me back. You know, I missed my guys, didn't have a chance to get on with you guys last week while I was filling in for Stephen A. on First Take. And I just, you know, I thought you wanted me to have all the feels starting off this week, so.
Of course we do. Okay. And you were all over the every time I looked up, you're on First Take, you're on Get Up. You were a man of many talents last week.
Yeah, well, it was fun being able to go all Hollywood for a little bit and just be on with Greeny and being on with Kellerman. It was a good week.
I'm a big week. Star,
but I'm back where I belong, Dave. I'm back with DCR, and I can't wait to get rocking and rolling because for the first time in a long time, we get to talk about Knicks playoff basketball.
Not only do we get to talk about Knicks playoff basketball, they get the four seed, which we will discuss at great length this morning.
Fourth place!
7-6. And Rick is off today and tomorrow. And who's replacing Rick? A man with very similar physique. And that, of course, is Chris Carlin. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Chris, he was, a little disingenuous what's going on here. He was absolutely destroying you last week. So
Doesn't surprise me, CC. Yeah.
Wait. Who destroyed who?
You were crushing him last week.
How did
the two
I crush
of you
him?
For, you know, Hollywood. Exactly. Hollywood, big time, and us, all that stuff.
I don't believe that was said even one time.
Friday, it was whatever he thinks about whether or not we're going to count this. Get to know your co-host. That it doesn't matter. He's not here. Screw him. All that stuff.
Well, I said absolutely goes in the standings. He's not here. That's true, but I wasn't crushing him all week like you say.
I guess agree to disagree, but I heard what I heard.
You're a bad guy, huh? How quickly you change your tune, too. I said I wasn't crushing him all week. I said one thing. You're like, well, I don't know. Right? All of a sudden, you had nothing. No ammunition left.
Whatever helps you sleep.
I slept great. Not long enough, but great last night. Absolutely phenomenal last night. So, Carlin, I'll turn to you again. Instead of you trying to stir the you-know-what, how you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. And listen, you might have expected me to come in this morning. Well, they gave up an 18-2 run in the fourth quarter, and that was more concerning. No. This is as good as it gets right here. To be the four seed, to get the Hawks, who, yes, I think will be tougher than a lot of us are maybe giving them credit for, but to get this opportunity with home court, man, this is all you could ever ask for and then some from an absolutely fantastic season.
Fantastic season. I mean, Canty, in your wildest dreams, there is no way that you could have expected the Knicks to go 41 and 31 and wind up with the four seed in the Eastern Conference. If I would have told you that before the season, you would have checked me into a facility, which I may need anyway, but you would have had the people with the white coats coming and taking me away. There is no way I could have convinced anybody that that would happen for the Knicks this season.
No, Dave, it's a dream season for Knicks fans, and I know it seems weird saying that with the team that doesn't have the ceiling of being a title contender, but, I mean, coming into this year, Vegas had the Knicks over-under win total at 22.5. And we said it would be a good season if this team flirted with 30 wins, and all of a sudden you get 41 wins in the regular season. So, I mean, the program is ahead of schedule. You love the way that this team plays defense. That always gives them a chance. They give consistent effort. We recognize from a talent standpoint there are some deficiencies there. But, I mean, because they're such a hard-working team, you feel good about their chances when they have home court advantage in a playoff series against the Hawks, because the Hawks are a team that's trying to figure it out too. The Hawks are an upstart group, right? They had a coaching change in the middle of the season. They played a lot better under Nate McMillan, but the Hawks haven't been there before. Like, this is all new to them too. So you just, as a Knicks fan, you don't mind the matchup, because you'll take your chances based on what we've seen from this team, the consistency that we've seen from this team versus what the Hawks have kind of been all year long, which is an up-and-down squad. So I think it's a great matchup for the Knicks in terms of having a chance to advance to the second round of the playoffs. And I can't wait to watch it all play out.
Yeah, this is, and Carlin used a wild term last week, by the way, Canty. He said if the Knicks were to lose this season, he would be highly disappointed, which I do not agree with. I'd be mildly disappointed, but I wouldn't be highly disappointed.
Yeah, Carlin, you need to say more on that one, because I don't understand.
Well, first of all, Dave's lying. I mean, it wasn't highly disappointed.
Oh, I believe it was a failed was season if they don't win this.
Stop.
I believe the term you used was clean house, in fact, if they don't win this series. No?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I'd be disappointed if they lost to the Hawks. It wouldn't take anything away from what the season is. It would just take me a little bit of time to get over a disappointing end to such a great year, because I do think the Knicks are better than the Hawks. I do right now, by the way they play, by their style of play, by the fact that, you know, you should just point it out, this is their first rodeo too.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do know is that defense travels. And, like, I'm very curious to see Trae Young in the postseason and how good he can be, and whether or not he actually goes through, you know, one of those stretches where it's the beginning of your postseason career and you kind of have to learn what it's about. And look, I think that if they lost this series, it would be a disappointing end to a great, great season. It wouldn't take anything away from the season as a whole. I just think that you got the matchup that you wanted in every single way. Had they lost any other series, it wouldn't bother me at all. If they lose this series, you know? could have been bad. It's one of those.
I guess a little bit. And I will agree with you with this. This is the series you wanted. You didn't want Milwaukee. You didn't want Miami. So Canty, this is the series that you wanted. And I think this does, in fact, give you the best chance of winning a best of seven series. I will agree with that.
Yeah, this is the series that you wanted. But make no mistake about it, Dave. Like, the Atlanta Hawks are a talented team.
Oh, I agree.
Like, they're a talented team. I don't think people recognize, like, this is an up-and-coming group, and this team is going to be around for a while. So I think this is one of those situations where you can't take your opponent for granted, but just based out of the possible matchups that you had, like the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks, like, you'll take the Atlanta Hawks over both of those squads. Because, like, if you're playing those teams in round one, you really don't like your chances as a Knicks fan to be able to advance. But I will say this. I think it'll be a competitive series. I feel like because the Knicks have home court, they should win this series. But if they don't win this series, it's still hard for me to be disappointed. It really is.
This has been a sensational season.
It's been a great season.
If they get hammered in this series against the Hawks, this has been a sensational season. Make no mistake about it. And I will argue with anybody all the way through. If people say, if they get hammered, five games, not competitive. Atlanta looks like clearly the better team. I don't care what happens from this moment on. I mean, I care, but it will not affect my thought of what the Knicks did in the regular season and also the future of this organization. Not for one bit.
It shouldn't. It wouldn't have anything to do with it. And as we discussed a little bit last week, the most important development out of all of this is the perception is changing of the Knicks among star players in the league. The fact that we hear that everyone, in terms of the big stars around the league, are paying attention, and there's potentially going to be one or two who are the next ones to become disgruntled with their situation and want to go somewhere else, to have the Knicks at the very top of their list, that transformation in terms of reputation might be even more impressive than 41-31.
Yeah, Carlin, I don't think there's any question about it. Like, this was the turnaround year, and the fact that the team is competitive and we're sitting here talking about them going into the playoffs and potentially winning a playoff series and having home court, that makes a difference in terms of how everybody else around the NBA looks at you. And so I just think feel like from that perspective, it's a huge step in the right direction. And then when you look at Leon Rose and this organization having the restraint to not make any splashy moves last offseason, now you have a ton of assets. You're going to have some cap space. You'll have draft capital. Like, you can make some moves to fortify this roster. Now that you have an identity, now that you know what this is going to be, now that we've seen Julius Randle and RJ Barrett take that next step, you can go out and get some pieces that complement those guys on your team, guys that you would view as a cornerstones for this organization. So they're in a really good spot no matter what happens from here on out. All you're asking now is that this playoff series is competitive. You'd like to win it, but as long as it's not a sweep, I think Knicks fans will feel ecstatic about the year that they've had.
Yeah, I think they should, Chris. And big picture, I think they will. But I think that there's a lot of Knicks fans that if they lose this series will be extremely disappointed. I will not be one of them. But I think a lot of Knicks fans would be extremely disappointed if they didn't win the series.
In the moment. In the moment, for a few days after, yes, I would agree. And that's frankly, if Dave, you put this out there last week. Even if they lost a heartbreaker in seven, you'd figure out a way to get past it relatively quickly.
Yes.
For
that night, you'd be upset. For that next morning, you would slog through it. But big picture, you got to be thrilled about everything happening here.
I agree. I think losing in five would probably do a little bit more to it. Might maybe take a little bit longer to get past if it wasn't a great playoff series. But again, it's not in any way taking away from what they have accomplished this season. And the mere fact that this is headed where it's headed, God, feels like drinking a tall glass of water coming out of the desert, doesn't it?
It really does. I'd have like a nice steak sandwich as well with a Bloody Mary. Like this is the dream season, really. I mean, no one expected this. The over-under was, 22.5? Mm-hmm. No one expected this. This is winning the lottery for the Knicks right now, guys.
No, it's like winning the lottery, Dave, but now it's like you're shifting to, okay, what do the Knicks have to do to be able to beat the Hawks, right? Everybody's saying this is the matchup that you want, and now what do you have to do to beat them? And I think one of the things that's come out of the last three or four games is that this Knicks team in the second half sometimes struggles to find offense. And I don't know if it's the point guard play or it's just that, you know, they're not necessarily moving the ball the way that they have for the most part throughout the course of this season. But they got to figure out a way not to have these lulls in games where it's hard for them to get buckets. Like that's the thing that has to change about it. Like, I mean, there's no reason to let that game yesterday get as close as it did, especially with Boston sitting the top seven on their team. Like, there's no reason to have a 21-point lead and only win by four. No reason.
Yeah, that was very stressful. But to your point, Canty, is if you've seen it the last four games. Against the Lakers, they couldn't score late stages, and they actually lost it, right? Against San Antonio, they had that huge drought in the second half where they fell behind by 17 points. Yep. Against Charlotte, you saw it again on Saturday. And then yesterday in the fourth quarter, you saw it against a Celtics team you didn't even recognize. So you're 100% right. You have to, and I don't know if they can. I mean, we mention it all the time. They don't have a point guard. So I think that these lulls of offense, if you want to call it that, may continue through the postseason. But you have to figure they're going to remedy that in the offseason by bringing in a legitimate point guard.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I had a terrifying moment. And Canty, I don't know if you've had this yet. I know RJ has had a few of these. And Carlin, you probably haven't because you just did the show the 1 week at this hour. A terrifying moment on Friday. So I went to bed pretty much right after the show, like by 8:30 on Friday. And something woke me up at 9:45 on Friday morning. And my immediate thought was, I missed the show. I was like, oh my God, I missed the show. And how did I miss the show? And then, and this is all like in a 20-second span, but I had a lot of things going on. Then I look at my phone, and I think, I gotta start calling people and telling them, I guess I just overslept. So then I look at my phone, and my home screen says my most recent text, and it's Ryan Hurley, our program director. And I think he's probably sent me a nasty text, and he's angry at me, and where are you, and what happened? And then I start to kind of formulate my game plan. And I think, you know what? This never happens to me. And I am very committed to the job. And you know what? How dare you, Ryan, be attacking me because I missed and overslept the one show. And then I pick up my phone. I was like, you know what? I think I might have done the show. I was like, I'm pretty confident I did the show. But I ran the gamut of emotions and actually went on the offensive and was going to say, hey, I was the victim here. Canty, and you'll appreciate that, I'm always the victim. I was the victim, and how dare Hurley attack me in missing the one show, because I never do that.
Dave, I love how you already got your game plan locked and loaded before you even talked to Hurley. Like, you sat there before you responded to the text message, before you reached out to call anybody, you developed a game plan, a strategy to make sure that you went on the offensive, so you wouldn't have to worry about telling them how you messed up by falling asleep and sleeping in and not being ready to go. That's unbelievable.
Yeah,
the fact that that's how your mind works.
Yep.
How dare you? That sounds like every time I really wasn't ever wrong with any girlfriend that I ever had, but yet I was going to get attacked for it because they made the mistake, but they were not ever going to cop to it. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Canty, have you had those moments yet where you're not exactly sure, like what day it is or the afternoon or what time or if you've done the show or if you have a show coming up? Have you had that yet?
I haven't had that happen to me yet, Dave, but I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, it'll be 1 o'clock in the morning, I might pop up, you know, for whatever reason, whether I'm getting some water or got to go to the bathroom. And then for the rest of the time I'm sleeping, like, I'm just kind of one eye open, looking at the clock, one eye open, checking the cell phone. So it's like I'm not getting sleep because I'm paranoid about, you know, not waking up on time, not being able to get to the show on time. So I'm on that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I was so angry at Hurley. I was like, how dare you? I mean, who do you know how much I've committed to the station, and I do show 6 days a week, and I'm up at, you know, 3:30 in the morning to do the show, and I'm losing sleep, and how dare you attack me like I thought was just waiting for me on the phone? How
Why
dare
didn't
you?
You call me? Why? What's your problem? Maybe it's your problem I
That's
didn't
right.
get up.
Call my home phone. Now, I do have a failsafe. RJ has my home phone number. So God forbid I sleep through everything on any given morning, he calls the home phone.
Smart.
Yeah.
See, I haven't answered my home phone since 2013, roughly.
but it could wake you up.
It could, in theory, but I would just assume it's another spam call.
Yeah,
but
I don't care who I think phone, it is. So. I don't care if I think it's someone from outer space. If it wakes me up and makes me pay attention, that's all I'm looking for.
I got you.
That's okay. All I'm looking for.
That is a scary moment. I've had those moments when I worked mornings the last time.
Did you ever blame other people, though?
No, that was not my instinct.
My instinct
was not immediately to deflect.
Yeah, I realized at that moment, like for the next 4 or 5 minutes after, I was like, boy, I really might not be a very good person. That I was really looking to place all the blame on Hurley. Like, how dare you, Ryan?
That's amazing.
Attack me like this.
You should have called up and just started yelling at him anyway. Like, even though it didn't actually happen, and just make him think that he did, or make him think that something was his
fault. How dare you do that to me? All right, here is Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of your New York Knicks, on securing, I'm going to say it slowly so you can all enjoy it, the four seed for the postseason.
The season continues on, so it's important to, you know, appreciate the effort and the work that has gone into it thus far, but to also understand that the challenge continues and there's an intensity level to the playoffs that is much different than the regular season, so we have to prepare ourselves for that as well.
Can we finally throw away this notion that, well, coaching doesn't really matter all that much in the NBA and the players run everything? And I mean, this is almost the identical team that they were last season, and they were unwatchable, and now they're the four seed with 41 wins and a shortened season.
Well, I think coaching matters, Dave, but I mean, when you get to the postseason, what's ultimately going to win out are the teams that are more talented. And so I think to a degree, you know, the coach can have an impact. And based on where the Knicks were at as an organization, like you can understand why Tibbs was able to come in and this team was able to kind of get going pretty quickly, because they were going to do it based on defense and effort. And then as the season went on, they developed the skill sets that it takes to be able to continue to have success once teams start to pick it up a little bit, getting ready for a playoff push. But now that we're in the postseason, we know the game is going to change. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this Knicks team responds, because, Dave, you're talking about a team that doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience. I mean, the Knicks roster has a combined 16 total playoff games played, and Nerlens Noel has 12 of those. This is Julius Randle's first rodeo. So, like, you're sitting there as a Knicks fan, you're excited, but there's also a little bit of a question mark as to what this Knicks team is going to be once we start talking about playoff-style basketball.
But what's exciting about this, when you talk about the coaching, is if think about a year ago today. If we had talked about the Knicks being a playoff team and the only difference in terms of the roster would have been Derrick Rose,
yeah,
you would have thought we were drunk. You know, I mean, that's the impact that it's had. I mean, it's been... He's been unbelievable. And you could frankly look at these two teams. I mean, you mentioned the fact that McMillan, they're 27-11 since they fired Lord Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's had
Did
as much
call
of a...
Lord Pierce?
He said Lloyd. Pierce.
Oh. I said Lloyd.
I thought he was some kind of like a knight.
He was knighted?
Like, how do you fire a Lord?
Knighted in the
good
empire
Lord,
of average good. NBA coaches? Yes.
Yes.
I think he is. But... point is that, yeah, coaching does matter, but which of these two teams right now do you feel like is more talented? I think we'd look at the Hawks and think they were a little bit more talented, but because this is their first rodeo too, you would think that the defense would help really not negate it, but at least even out that a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Here is Derrick Rose discussing an undefeated 3-0 regular season against Atlanta, but telling us that means nothing at this point.
I mean, everybody knows that it's out the window. That's regular season. You know that coming into the game, the urgency is going to be very high. The intensity is going to change, and we just got to go all out. You know how big these two games are coming. They're playing in our house. We got to take care of these two games and play as hard as we can. And we'll deal with it game by game, but you got to take care of the first one first.
I have zero doubt, Canty. No doubt that the Knicks will not take this for granted. They will be motivated. They will be focused. They're going to play hard nose. Like, I have never felt more confident that a team will come out and play their game than I do with the Knicks in this postseason.
No, I feel like they're going to play Knicks basketball, Dave, which is going to be really, really intense on the defensive end. And then, you know, offensively, they're going to be able to, you know, share the ball and get Julius Randle going early, and that kind of sets the stage for everybody else. I have no doubt that that's what they'll plan on doing, but I don't know how this group is going to react being in the playoffs. Like, I don't. Like, you know that, you know, guys get into the playoffs, and because the stakes are what they are, you know, that changes a little bit in terms of how they perform. Maybe they're a little bit tight. I think those are things that you want to watch for early. And if you're Tibbs, that's what you're trying to guard against. I mean, you're preaching the message that we're doing the same thing that we do every single game throughout the course of the season. But, I mean, this is not a regular season game. This is a postseason game, and it's going to be different. And so I don't like we just heard in the clip, I don't know that you can prepare for something that you've never experienced fully, but I do know that this Knicks team is going to come out and give the requisite effort, and we'll just have to see where that takes them.
Absolutely.
Or the one thing that does concern you a little bit is just that as much as they haven't been a great scoring team all year, or even a terribly good one, it had actually been better for the final few weeks up until the last 5-6 games. Like they were not scoring a ton of points over these last 5-6 games, where that might catch your attention.
And you're certainly not going up against an elite defensive team in the first round of the postseason either. That'll help this Knicks team as well.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Great, Jay Williams. Good morning.
What's up,
Jay?
Boys? I'm doing good. We got playoffs starting today. We got some basketball talk. I'm doing good.
Very exciting.
Kind of back to rubbing in, make me look bad again for another week.
Oh, I didn't do it to you. I mean, I don't know what happened.
He does it to himself.
I don't know how this. It takes a simple DM, you know.
Did he ever reach out to you, by the way?
Nobody ever reached out to me.
Oh, wow. Carlin!
Come on, Carlin. Wow. Come on. You can't do our guy Jay Will like that, man.
You know, it was one of those things, too. CC, Chris, where it was like, you know, after we had the conversation, it was a coming to Jesus type of conversation. Mm-hmm. For me and Carlin. Yeah. You know, we had to, you know, some things were said, some tough things, some difficult things. We challenged each other. And you hope that afterwards somebody would say, hey, man, just want you to know I'm here. Whatever support you, I'm here.
I can't believe after he told you what's going on in his life, Carlin, that you didn't reach out and say, listen, man, I'm really sorry. I apologize if there's anything I could do, but I'm always here for you. Nothing?
It doesn't mean I wasn't going to. I'm still absorbing and processing.
Stop it.
Carlin, I felt like the guy on the opposite end waiting for the girl to text him with the little bubbles that come up on the iPhone, just like just bubbling. I'm like, oh, he's gonna send me a DM. He's gonna tell me it's gonna be okay.
Like, the bubbles.
Here it comes.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Then the bubbles just disappear, Carlin. Wow. That fast.
Jay, on behalf of the regular crew of DCR, I apologize for him. I'm really sorry.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, you know, it means the world coming from you. It really does.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're very, very sorry here. The entire station, all of 98.7 ESPN. All right, so
Carlin, Knicks, what's up, man? You good, brother?
I'm great, Jay. How you doing?
Good, baby. Good,
let's not pretend you guys like each other. There's tremendous animosity between the two of you. And just because Jay Williams is the bigger guy here.
I'm hoping to see him at the Seaport later. I was going to do it in person because I'm filling in for Alan later today. So maybe I'll do it in person.
In person?
Apologize.
Okay. I thought you were like coming at me like, I see you at the Seaport when I see
you
today.
You're going to throw down like a duel kind of thing.
Jeez, what? This guy's aggressive.
I haven't been in a fight in like 35 years.
He hasn't been in a fight since he attacked the lead singer of the Spin Doctors years ago.
Wait, that happened?
Yeah.
It was the drummer, and I was accosted at first, okay?
I love you. It's like, actually, it wasn't the lead singer. He was the drummer.
Right. The drummer and almost came to blows with Chris Berman as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not true.
Wow. And Chris, and I heard Chris Berman has a little beef with you too, Carlin. Is this true?
Yeah. Well,
how did this happen?
That wasn't my fault. That was basically somebody. That was from when I used to produce Jay, you know the show, Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
New York City. I used to produce that show. And it was blamed on me that he wasn't on that show, saying that I didn't care for him when it was not true. Yeah. I was merely...
Don't worry, Carlin. I've been a victim of a lot of relationships in my past where I was like, that's not my fault.
But yeah, this is really a disturbing pattern of really behavior from Carlin, though. Just disturbing pattern.
He has a lot of people that he does not like and that do not like him.
I would
but
agree.
But it's not his fault, though. Rick, it's
no,
not
it
fault.
Never has been. It never has been. All right, so Jay... Knicks-Hawks, this is the matchup that the Knicks fan wanted. They got it. They have home court. Somehow they wind up with the 4 seed. Do you like the Knicks to win this series?
I like it. It's a difficult matchup for them defensively, obviously, because of how they utilize Trey. But all the matchups that you could have asked for, that's the one you wanted. You didn't want Milwaukee. That's the one you wanted. So I look at this and I say the Knicks have had an incredible year. I thought with their stretch – in the schedule, the latter half of the schedule, I didn't know if they were going to make the playoffs. Like, I thought they were going to be in that playing tournament right on the verge of maybe not in there. Like, they have surpassed my expectations. I don't think any Knicks fan would have thought, hey, we're going to be top four in the East at the beginning of the year. I don't think anybody would have said that. Any casual fan at all, considering where this team was last year. So, look, the question you have for the Knicks moving forward is they play playoff defense throughout the regular season. That's always been Tibbs' thing, and this Knicks team has bought into it. Now that we're here at the playoffs, can they, that defense go up a notch? It will need to, but I think that there is one team that they can be in the playoffs to get to the second round, and that is the Atlanta Hawks. And they should think the same way, too.
And, Jay, I wanted to ask you about that because we were talking about the coaches earlier. We were both talking about the lack of experience with both of these teams. I want to say the Knicks starters have a combined 16 playoff games under their belt, so it's not a whole lot of experience in the postseason. So how much of a factor will coaching be in this series against the Hawks? Because these two teams don't have a ton of playoff experience to draw from.
I think coaching is going to be critical for both sides. I think for New York, it does help when you have a guy like D. Rose, who's had MVP-type experience and playoff experience in Chicago, to be a guy that comes off the bench and to work with your team and things of that sort. So, look, coaching's always going to factor into it, but it ultimately will come down to how do the Knicks defend the pick-and-roll action that Trae Young is so good at. I mean, he's kind of like he's like a Stephen Curry-like player, right, with the way he looms around and the way he shoots the ball. So, look, the defense is going to win that series for them, and I would have the Knicks favorite. I'm sure curious what Vegas has, but I would have the Knicks favorite.
I'm trying to look it up right now, actually. I can't find a series price, Jay, but the Knicks are two-point favorites in game one is what I'm finding.
Yes. There you go.
Jay, just quickly, this early, this far out, how would you expect the Knicks to play Trae Young?
I throw the kid, you know, Tibbs is so good at this. I throw him a variety of looks. The dynamics, it's so difficult to guard Trae is, you know, what happened? Think about, like, you know, when you guys see a basketball game, when a shot goes up, mostly everybody's kind of getting back on defense, right? Well, with Trae Young or with Steph Curry, you can't just get back on defense. When the ball goes up or goes in, you need somebody designated to pick him up early. So I think that's going to be critical for Tibbs in the way they defend him because you need somebody in his pocket. It can't be like, hey, let me give Trae Young time to turn around and to jog down the court and then just start sprinting or to get the ball. Like, I want to make him work. And also, whoever he's guarding, I'm going to make him work defensively. I'm going to attack him. He's only about $165, $170 soaking wet. He's incredible offensively, but defensively, you can attack him. So if you can start wearing his legs down defensively and then, you know, be in his pocket, meet him early, make him work, that's the recipe for success. Even though they're way more than just Trae Young, you still have to take that major piece of it out of the equation.
All right, Jay, great stuff as always. Have a great show today. We'll pick it up at 8 o'clock this morning on 98.7 ESPN. And once again, from all of us here at 98.7 ESPN, we really apologize for the actions of one Chris Carlin.
No, I get it. I just want to know that to start the week off, it's just nothing's ever Chris Carlin's fault. So
no, it never is. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Carlin. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Jay. You know, 2 minutes ago, it's you blaming Ryan Hurley for you not, you know, being able to get up and missing a show.
Yeah, but that was like my subconscious. That was like 15, 20 seconds. What you did, he played it up all week, Canty. It was horrifying.
What did he do?
So here's what happened, okay? Yeah, there were four or five times that I had filled in with Bart for Allen, where Jay's normal spot would come up, and he didn't come on. And I thought, well, like two, three times, okay. Four or five, like, that's a little more than coincidental.
Okay.
Like, something's up here.
All right.
And then last Monday, he had a flat tire.
Right. And we find out after the fact, Canty, in a car that he's not driving.
Right. As it turns out, it's not like he was driving and he's on the BQE and I have a flat tire. No. Then Keyshawn comes on and says, well, he doesn't drive his own car anyway, so it's not like he was getting out of the car and fixing the tire.
So Carlin becomes agitated. He becomes angry. He goes on the aggressive.
And I'm thinking, more than anything, I was actually, well, this has got to be Han bad-mouthing him to me, or bad-mouthing me to him. This has got to be a Han setup. So I blamed Han for it. And then Jay comes on Friday, guys, really sorry, my mom's been sick, all this. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't feel like a bigger
day.
Jerk.
He said, I have a newborn. The walls feel like they're closing in. Like, it was really.
He's having a challenged moment right now with everything he's got on his plate.
And Carlin felt, and I believe, Chris, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, still feels just horrendous about your actions from last week.
Not good, Bob. Not good.
You should feel bad, Carlin. You should feel bad. You're a bad guy.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to figure out exactly what was going on with the guy, you immediately decided to attack him, and then you found out on the back end that, wait a minute, there's real life happening with Jay Will right now.
All right, but let me ask you a question.
And then you made it worse. You didn't even reach out to him.
Well, I knew that I would probably see him this week because I'm filling in all week with Bart. So I'm going to be at the Seaport probably by about 10 o'clock. So hopefully I could catch him on the way out. Say, hey, my bad.
Yeah, but now that's going to be awkward.
Made it awkward. Thanks.
That's right, I did. Of course I did. The play for you was to DM him on Friday. So sorry, man, but you know what? I'm going to be at the Seaport next week, and we'll catch up, and I'll see you in person and apologize again. Now it's going to be very uncomfortable when you see him later today.
See, whenever something like that happens, I want the apology to be more authentic. Let's sit on it for a couple of days. Hey, man, so wrong about that. And now it's just going to look empty, so thanks a lot.
Don't blame me.
Right? I was about to say.
I mean, how am I the blame here?
Because you completely portrayed me in an unfair light. Not my fault.
I don't know how unfair that is, Carlin. I mean, you could have reached out to the guy to apologize. You didn't do it. I mean, the guy had some things going on, but rather than try to figure out what it was, just decided to attack him. Like, I don't know how this is on Dave.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of a lot of things, but not this.
Yeah, this is not Dave playing the victim.
If it happened 5 or 6 times, Chris, wouldn't you assume that the guy doesn't like you for some reason?
Yeah, but that's why you try to understand first. That's why you ask questions before you just go all crazy on the guy. Yeah.
No, I go off first. I ask questions.
How's that serving you in this situation?
Effective.
Exactly.
Clearly
not
effective.
Well. Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Let's get to some of the Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. Eli in Newark. Eli, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. First things first, I want to thank Chris Candy. Help us win the Super Bowl. Congratulations on your engagement. That's first.
Appreciate you, my man. What you got for us?
I've been a Knicks fan all the way back when they had Walt Bellamy, Kyle Ramsey, Richie Guerin, Howie Coleman, Dick Barnett, all the way up. I'm just enjoying the ride. I think the Knicks will take 11-6. My only concern is the referees. Are they going to let them play? Or are they going to call it tight? That's my only concern. What do you guys think?
I don't know. And we appreciate the phone call. I have no idea. I mean, I hope they let them play. If they don't let them play, I think the Knicks are in big trouble in this series.
I don't think there's any question. If you don't let a certain amount of physicality go, what could be a very quick series if the majority of it is officiated like that.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, but I will also say this. I have very low expectations when it comes to NBA refereeing, especially this year. It's been horrendous. All of these quick whistles and teeing guys up and all that kind of stuff. You need to let that stuff go when it comes to playoff basketball, because you'd hate for those types of things to be a major factor in deciding the outcome of a series. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. NBA, send out the memo to all your officials. Let these dudes play. Nobody's coming to the arena to watch the referees, like Rick always says.
But they are coming to the arena to watch the stars. That's what, like, with a guy like Trae Young, like, this is his first time in the postseason. Is he going to get all the benefits of the whistles? That's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah, he might. I don't know. I think that is a key to this series. What do the officials do, and how do they call it, and how closely do they call it? Listen up, Jets fans. Listen to this, guys. 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score Jets tickets. Listen all week to DCR in the 7 o'clock hour and the Michael Kay Show in the 5 o'clock hour for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Jets home opener against the Patriots. Now, each winner is going to also have a chance to be upgraded to season tickets. The grand prize season ticket winner will be chosen at random and announced on the Michael Kay Show this Friday. All brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium on sale right now. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. Season tickets.
Ooh. That's outstanding.
That is some kind of giveaway, huh?
You dream of season tickets.
Right?
Yeah.
That's 9 games.
There you go. That's exciting, man.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Season tickets, giveaway, turned around with the Jets.
Better be locked in this week.
Yeah, there you go.
Better be locked in.
Alan Holbrook, good morning, Al. You're next up on 98.7.
I'm not going to say how you guys are doing. I'm going to say good morning.
There you go. So you play the game well, Al. Good morning.
Thank you. Huge Knicks fan since the early 80s. Enjoying the ride. here's the thing. If the Knicks lose to Atlanta, I am not going to be – I'm going to be a little disappointed, but overall, I'm happy. I'm happy with the narrative the Knicks has changed. So people underestimating how good Atlanta actually is. You know, the mm-hmm. Knicks always have challenges with good skillful centers, and Capella is a beast. You know, Noel is a good center. He's a good help defender, but he's still light. You know what I'm saying? So when you got a really skillful center and put some body on him, he sometimes has, you know, foul issues. Mm. But overall, I got the Knicks with the edge. But those three games in the regular season means absolutely nothing. It's a different animal when you got to play somebody seven straight games.
No question about it, Al. I mean, you're absolutely right. And I know you're a Knicks fan and you're saying you'd be a little disappointed. I could understand that just because it's been a bit of a dream season. But I think there are some people, you know, especially folks in the media last week talking about the season could potentially be a failure if you get the Hawks and you don't move on. I feel like those people are out of their minds. Like, this is going to be a tough series no matter how you slice it. And you just hope that Tibbs can help these guys, you know, be able to slow down this Atlanta Hawks offense and grind this game down to a halt. I think the Knicks have got to keep it a low-scoring affair in order to have a chance to be able to win this series in advance to the second round. I think that has to be their mentality coming in.
If you have the mindset that if the Knicks lose this series, this season has been a failure, you should look for something else to do in your life. Really. I mean that sincerely.
Dave, you've heard people saying that, though.
It's a horrendous take, Canty. It's horrible. It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. I completely agree with you. I mean, Knicks fans didn't expect to have this kind of season. Hell, I don't even know if the Knicks team expected to have this kind of season. But the fact that we're here now, I mean, it's been a huge success. Now you're just hoping that you can get the icing on top of the cake with a playoff series win. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup no matter how you look at it. This Hawks team is a really talented team. They don't have a lot of experience, but they're talented.
But now I'm a little greedy and I want the icing.
You should want it.
I want the icing.
You should want it. But that doesn't mean that if you don't get it, it's that you haven't enjoyed the cake.
Of course not. It's a little dry. But yeah, no, absolutely. The entire season has nothing to do with what transpires here. I will, as I said last week, I will enjoy the fact that I can be invested in the moment. That I can get fired up by what the Knicks are doing. That's all.
That in its own right makes this a tremendous win of a season.
Absolutely.
Tremendous win. All right, let's bring him in. Maybe the number one fan of the show, Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, family. Your first name initials break down to CDC, so let me be the first to say thank you for keeping us sports healthy. So we all had a great weekend. Canty, welcome back. I saw your first take and was very pleased with your takes, except your points about the Cowboys. You was waxing so poetic about them all week.
Come on, Lonnie, stall me out, Lonnie.
I don't know what Cousin Ray was saying to you behind closed doors, but I need you to stop that, brother man, all right? Uncle Rico, if you're listening, what a win by the Islanders. Gentlemen, what a weekend. The Knicks wrapped up the fourth seed. This season has been great. 22 wins, huh, Vegas? Cousin RJ, can I please get a Cousin Dave take it for Vegas, please? The Knicks basically doubled the win total, Vegas said this season. They play so hard all game. Now, I mean, they make mistakes, but they play hard. And like Dave always says, that's what you can really ask for. As a New Yorker, I can only hope that they win the first round, especially since they have home court advantage. If they don't, I mean, I would be crushed. I wouldn't be so crushed because of the wonderful season they had. And plus, the Hawks is a pretty good team. A lot of people are sleeping on them. But it would suck if they didn't win because, once again, I am a New Yorker. I want them to strive.
Of course, Lonnie. Thanks for the call. It would be disappointing if they didn't win. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. Right? I mean, it would be a great season. I think Thibs is still right up there for Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. You'd be excited for the future. In that night that you lose the series and maybe the next morning when we do the show, you'd be disappointed. And after that, you'd have to get right back to the fact that this has been a dream season for this team.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.